time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, and yes, here it is, Thursday morning already, and it's the last Thursday of the month, and you will know what that means. James Anderson's with us today from the Marion County Park District. James, how are you doing?
Oh, great, Charlie. I'm wonderful.
Oh, hey, super duper. I bet the animals are starting to say that, too.
That's right. It's starting to warm up, so they're enjoying it.
Oh, I bet. Are there still any not hiding, in hibernation?
I would say there's probably some, but most of them are starting to come out, the more groundhog activity.
Oh, the groundhog, yes. And I'm glad you were able to bring the groundhog over to Morrow County and let other people see it.
Yeah. He was a fun groundhog.
Yeah, he was. You know, it would be fun to train one of those to be tame.
Yes.
Yeah, but boy, you wouldn't want to stick your finger in the cage.
No, not that you wouldn't.
So, they had a good crowd this year for the groundhog opening, and that's great. And he had a nice crowd in Morrow County. And Morrow County is lucky to have that little, just right near the sheriff's department. What's it called?
Headwaters. Headwaters Outdoor Education Center.
Okay, and it's not a full time, but there are activities scheduled.
They do, yeah. They're actually going to start their preschool program next month.
Oh, okay.
They do it every Thursday. And because I take my son to it since live real close. I think their first one starts at 10:15, and then the next one is at 12:45. And there's no registration. You just show up.
Well, that's nice.
So it's a good time. And they pick a different theme every Thursday. So
what you do, you go out Route 42, and the first road after the sheriff's department, you turn left.
Yep. It's basically right behind the sheriff's station.
Yeah. And what, they've got 100 and some acres there?
Yes, yeah. It was an old farm field back in the day.
Yeah, it's great.
And then the building, I guess, used to be the old county home for the poor or what.
Okay,
that's what a lot of the locals said.
Wow, yeah. So it's good. I like to see activity in every county like this. And, of course, Marion County in the past years, how long has it been since the Marion County Park District was formed?
It was formed in 1995, and just slowly growing and accumulating,
right.
And then I joined board back in 2015.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm going on 4 years in May.
The years prior to that, you were had enrolled in your outdoor schooling.
That's right, yep. I was getting done with Hocking College in Rio Grande.
Yes. Now, in this past week or so, you've had some sessions at local libraries.
Yeah.
What, Prospect and Caledonia?
Yep, and LaRue.
Okay. Now, how was the attendance?
Some were good and some were really small. Probably the one in Prospect was our best attendance. I think we had about 12 people.
Okay.
And it was all Frog and Toads. The one in LaRue, we had 3, and the one in Caledonian, we also had 3 as well. So it's kind of hit and miss, but yeah, overall, it was pretty fun going on to all the branches and doing programs. So we're going to do it again sometime in the future.
Okay, well, that's good. To have a place like those little libraries available for your programs. That's super. 10:22 is the time. My guest is James Anderson, and James visited me one day in the in the nursing home.
Yeah. Had some spare time, and I said, I'll go visit Charlie.
Yeah, all right. And that was about a week after the groundhog in Morrow County. I was coughing then, and I really went downhill after that.
Yep.
Yeah. But all is well now.
That's good. I'm glad you're here.
And just in time for spring to be happening. Now, you had the wild bird count back around Christmas time, didn't you?
Yep.
And did you see any pileated there?
Not at Tallgrass Trail. Now, they found them at other parts.
Yeah,
I forget where Ed found them, but
they're kind of scarce.
Yeah. Not like Terradice. There's quite a few, but unfortunately, the Terradice Nature Preserve is not in that circle.
Oh, you're right, yes.
Yep, unfortunately.
I remember Trella Romine used to go out and travel with Bill Hutchman.
Okay.
And they drove and registered. I don't know what territory they did, but... yeah, it was a lot. And the first pileated I ever saw was on a high bank of the Olentangy right near Trella Romine's place.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
I'll never forget that. It walked up within 15 feet of me and started hollering.
Yeah, they sound like a monkey, don't they? That's what I think they sound like.
Yeah, and then for years and years, Ed Lux and I used to go out and try to find pileateds.
Okay.
We would walk through woods looking for a rectangular hole in an old tree. I never did find it. And one day I looked out my bedroom window, and there's a pileated outside my window.
Oh, yeah?
And I got pictures of it.
Awesome.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, there's a few pileated holes there at the Terradice Nature Preserve.
Okay.
But yeah, you always, like you said, how you can tell they make rectangular holes versus the other woodpeckers make circular holes.
Yes. And you can tell if a pileated nearby because they make a lot of sound.
They do.
Now, it's interesting, James. Over at Kenyon College, in their maintenance department, the employees there always put plastic bags around their car's rear view mirrors or side view, because in the spring the pileateds come and peck the glass out of those mirrors.
Yep, what they were doing, it's a thing called drumming. So one of the things woodpeckers do to attract mates is they'll peck on something hard, and that will tell the female, hey, I'm a bigger, healthier male, I'll produce better young.
Wow.
And a lot of times they'll go to road signs, like a stop sign, and they'll do that. They'll
really
do that loud drumming sound.
Isn't that something? Yeah. The things in nature that are so interesting and almost human.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so now that it is this time of the year, what is happening out at the Tallgrass Trail and the other locations?
Well, a lot of our wildlife are starting to come out, like you said. Some are coming out of hibernation or coming out of their hiding spots. Some of our migratory birds might be traveling. Our winter birds, some of them are starting to head back up north. Like juncos, I've noticed few and few, so for too long, I think they're going to be gone.
Oh, that's right. They, by the warmer days of spring, they are gone.
Yep, and I bet the northern harriers, not a lot of my regular birders, photographers, had been telling me they haven't seen as many, so I think they're going to be heading back up north for too long.
Now, where specifically do the juncos escape to?
Oh, they go to the northern parts of the United States and Canada.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Like Ontario Province and some of the others?
Yeah.
Yeah. Junco, the bird with the white apron.
Yeah, and he's got kind of a grayish-pink bill. I think it's a very odd color. Yeah.
And when he flits around, you see some white in its tail.
Yep.
Yeah, interesting bird. The junco, the ground feeder.
Yes, yeah. They don't like bird feeders. Yeah, they're definitely, like you said, a ground feeder.
Now, the hummingbirds, they won't come back for, another month or so?
Yeah, about late April, early mid-May, and it all depend on weather. So definitely I recommend towards the end of April just start getting your feeders out. And when you get your feeders out, I always tell people don't use red food coloring.
Yeah.
Because some ornithologists are starting to realize that they think the red dye is correlating with a lot of tumor spots.
No kidding.
In their liver and vital organs.
Yeah.
And they think, and now they don't have enough evidence, but they think it might be thinning out some of the eggshells with hummingbirds. So so I always recommend people just one cup sugar, four parts water, boil it, and it's that simple.
My wife has been doing that for years,
and
it works just great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why they came about with this red coloring. being thinking it was so attractive.
Because, especially ruby-throated, which is our species in Ohio, that's right. Their main color they're attracted to. And so people said, oh, well, let's get the red food coloring. That'll attract more. Well, Rule King sells a special feeder, and it's just a red glass bottle, and it works just as great.
Yeah.
And don't buy the already pre-made red food coloring stuff again. You can make it at home, and it's
so
a lot cheaper.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah. And like you say, the what is the only hummingbird we find around here?
Yeah.
The Rufus. Ruby-throated, yeah.
Yeah, or the ruby-throated. The Rufus hummingbird, he's
rare.
A rare visitor, yeah.
They occasionally find one. I know over Mansfield, they occasionally find one.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. But the Rufus is a rusty, brownish?
Yeah, a reddish-brown rusty color, okay. I would say.
Well, he doesn't stand out as much as the ruby throat.
No, that he does not.
Okay. So if you see one at your feeder, get a hold of James and tell him.
That's right.
It'd be interesting. Okay. 10:29 is the time, and you're listening to James Anderson, the young man who heads the Marion County Park District and all of its locations. Not only the Tallgrass Trail, but the Green Spur, the Charlton Myers Woods, and where else?
And Teradise.
Teradise, yes.
Yep.
Right up the road from me.
Yep, that's right.
Teradise is full of a lot of interesting things.
Oh, yes, a lot of wildflowers. I always love Teradise because it's got a lot of unique flowers there.
Yeah. And flowers will be blooming shortly.
Yeah.
And I noticed, I saw, well, let's see, we only have about 30 seconds. I wonder if you could, do you know anything about that skunk cabbage?
Yeah.
Oh, good. We'll mention that when we come back. But right now, stay tuned. We're going to break here for a minute or so and be right back with James Anderson, Marion County Park District.
Ted, did you know President Harding's dog, Laddie Boy, had a gold collar?
That's not so unusual.
Really?
No, he had a golden collar. I have a golden voice. Tomato, tomato.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with James Anderson. And James, I mentioned, I guess there's probably not much around here, skunk cabbage. What is skunk cabbage?
So skunk cabbage is a really interesting flower for a few reasons. First off, it's actually our first wildflower that blooms here in the state of Ohio. And you're probably wondering, when does it bloom? It can bloom between February, early March, and yes, even if there's snow or ice on the ground, it's really interesting because it has what's called thermal genesism, and it's able to produce heat as its cellular respiration and able to melt the snow and ice around it.
A plant that's able to produce heat?
Yeah.
Weird.
And they still don't know why it does it, or I guess how it does it, but it's just interesting, you know, how this plant is able to do that.
Wow, but chances of finding one around Marion County kind of slim?
Yeah, there's just not a lot of documents, but they're up in the Ohio Bird Sanctuary, there's tons and tons of it. It's a wetland plant.
Okay, does it have a smell to it?
Yes, it does. The leaves have more of the skunk smell, but the flower, it looks ugly. It's brown with green spots, and it's got this weird little thing in the middle called spadix, which is the actual flower.
Wow.
But it does have a little aroma to it, and they think flies what pollinates this flower.
Well, okay, there's another, in the wetland areas, a plant that has a huge leaf.
Well, skunk cabbage, it has a huge leaf.
Is that right?
Yep.
Now, this one I'm thinking of, a lot of times you see it where the ground is kind of wet, and the leaves would be green, and I can't remember what they're called.
There's several species. Could be water plantain or arrowhead. Yeah, arrowhead plantain.
Okay. So probably one of those.
Yeah.
A lot of things are happening this time of the year.
Oh, yeah.
What should be, if we were out taking a walk along the Tallgrass Trail or somewhere else, the Marion County Park District, what could we be looking for right now?
Right now, like we talked about, some of our migratory birds that might be coming through on warm days. You definitely might see a amphibian reptile activity. Right now, the frogs are all calling, peepers. And yeah,
I haven't heard a peeper yet this year.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh.
There must not be any water behind where we live.
Okay. Well, if you go, when I went to Caledonia last week, there must be a creek or somewhere in downtown Caledonia where we heard some peepers.
I'll be doggone. This is the first year I've not heard a spring peeper because I've kept track. I wrote down the temperature that it had to be before I heard the spring peepers. It was between 50 and 54 degrees every year.
Yeah, and that's when you get a lot of them. Now, some of them might start calling about a little above 40.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like you said, the higher temperatures, they all come out. So
there's one called, in Latin, Hylas crucifer. And that's the one with a cross on its back.
Yes, that's the spring peeper.
Okay.
And then the chorus frog. It sounds like a creak. It sounds like if you're in an old wooden house and you're walking through, it makes that creak, creak. So right now is their breeding season.
Wow.
Now, more in the southern part of Ohio, more of the other, the tree frogs are coming out. Because we've got to remember, spring happens a little soon, quicker south than it does up here. We're going to be hearing some of our more of our frog species for too long.
What about the little tiny ones that cling to our screen door?
The tree frogs.
The tree frog, yeah.
Yep. There's the Cope's tree frog and the gray tree frog. Now they look
two different ones.
Yeah, they look identical. You cannot tell them apart. But how you can tell them apart is by their voices.
Oh, okay. So they sing.
Yes. Yep. So it's what you're hearing is the male. He's producing the sound, and he's trying to attract the female. And the female, she's listening, cueing in, and whoever's the biggest or loudest male, she'll say, "Hey, he'll produce better young. I'm going to go to that male." So in the frog and toad and bird world, it pays to be a loudmouth.
Selective breeding. Now that's something that humans, they've tried back many years ago, back 100 years ago. There was a group that wanted all pure people produced.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a very controversial time. But, the animals, the ones you're talking about, they're very selective.
Yes.
Choosing a more robust mate.
Yes, that they are.
Yeah.
You have to be big and strong.
Now, what is about the spring peeper? You get near them, and they all duck below the water.
Well, they think you're a potential threat or predator, and what I recommend is when you're there and they do that, just stand still, stay quiet for about 5 minutes or so, and then they'll come out.
And their sound is produced by that membrane below their chin, is that it?
Yes, yeah, that focal sac. And and it's so funny, you know, spring peepers about the size of a quarter, but yet make that loud beep sound.
Isn't it amazing? Now, after the spring peepers, wait a minute. Do we hear the spring peepers throughout the summer months or not?
No, they're going to start to get quiet because guess who's going to come out later on?
Oh.
Bullfrogs and green frogs.
And bullfrogs would eat them?
That's right. That's right. So that's why the little frogs are trying to get their business done quick because then the big guys will come out and they don't want to get eaten.
Well, that's interesting. So the little ones want to mate early in the season.
Yep.
And, to avoid being eaten by the bullfrogs.
Yeah, I heard somebody messaged me on the radio. You were wondering about frog gigging
on your
program.
Right. Yeah.
So, but yeah, that'll be coming up for too long in June. Okay. That there is a season. I think it's only June through August. I would have to read the regulations. Okay. But you do need a fishing license if you're going to hunt on public property.
Can you gig them?
Yes, you can gig them.
A gig them is usually a three-pronged trident or
yeah I just capture them by hand and I just get them that way.
And I often when I was a kid used a little bit of red cloth on a hook, and they would jump out at that red cloth and they'd be hooked.
And only bullfrogs and green frogs can be harvested. The other species cannot be harvested.
Well, what other species is there?
The bullfrog and green frog. But for the other ones, like the peeper, the chorus frogs, and of course, they're real small. You wouldn't get much.
You'd have to get so many of them to eat them.
Yeah. And then also, too, turtle season begins the same time. Right. So snapping turtle and soft shells, those are the two species you're legally allowed to harvest. Uh-huh. But they're a little more restrictive now because they're starting to notice their population is declining, so they have to be a certain size. I think the width of the carapace or the top shell has to be 15 inches, 16 inches.
Oh, really? Okay.
So if you got it under, you can get in trouble.
And if you kill the snapper, you cannot sell it, can you?
You can, but it gets really fine line. Okay. Then you would have to get through the Department of Agriculture. And there would be a lot of permits and paperwork you would have to go through. But if you were just giving it to a friend, I don't think they would mind.
I wonder if any restaurants that sell turtle soup really have any turtle in that turtle soup.
I bet those fancy restaurants might. Yeah. I don't know.
But I can remember eating turtle soup once, and it did taste different than beef.
Yeah, I think it kind of has like a clam chowder kind of texture to it.
Different. I can remember I used to take a group of senior citizens fishing, and out at the Police Athletic Association Lake. And one year, one of the ladies caught a snapping turtle.
Oh, yeah?
And she said, "Charlie, come here and unhook this guy. I'm taking him home. I'm going to have turtle."
Oh, boy.
So that... Yeah, I wonder if there's much meat in them.
Yeah, if you get a good-sized one, then there's quite a bit of meat. They always said there's seven different kinds of meat. I don't know if that's true, but maybe if you butcher it right, you might.
But a snapping turtle, you have to be so careful.
Yes.
How would you expedite a snapping turtle?
I would probably start with the head. That would be the best spot. Yeah.
Okay. Wait till it sticks its head out and chomp it. Yeah. Interesting. But this is the time of the year, though, folks, when you can enjoy the great outdoors. It's warmer, and the animals are coming alive.
Yes, and while you're talking about that, as it's getting warmer, guess who else is going to start to come out on the trail, especially?
Oh, and snakes?
Snakes, our slithery friends. So please be mindful. These guys are not there to hurt you. They're just taking advantage of the trail because, you know, they're trying to warm up.
That's right. They like turtles. Like it to be a little warmer, don't they?
Yes, because they can't produce their own body heat. Whatever the outdoor temperature is, that's what they are.
Wow.
So they depend on, you know, concrete, a trail, or whatever, man-made or natural structures to keep them warm.
Does that help utilize their food intake to process it into
Body? Yeah, if they're too cold, their digestive tract doesn't work very well.
Yeah. Wow. So there are among turtles... There are, what do they call them, painted turtles?
Yeah, we have a lot of painted turtles on the trail.
Are those the smaller ones?
Yes.
Black?
They're black, and within their name, they have the red dots, or look like, I always say, Bob Ross, when a little, put some dots around their shell.
Yeah. Okay, so if we go out along a stream, and there's maybe a limb lying in the stream, it would generally be covered on a warm day with a lot of turtles.
Yes, the second bridge at Tallgrass Trail by Her Road, we have some couple logs floating, and we usually have, one year we almost had 100, we counted 100 painted turtles on this log.
Isn't that something?
So they all just crammed in there, but it was really fun to watch.
And they're all trying to warm up?
Yes, all trying to warm up.
Well, isn't that something? Now, what does a painted turtle eat?
Oh, they'll eat fish. They'll eat any other small little critter that can fit in their mouth.
Interesting. So it's the outdoors is really coming alive this time of the year.
That's right.
Now, you brought some things with you today.
I did.
Are they alive or dead?
They're dead. The friend Marilyn from Headwater, she let me borrow them for my wildlife contest last week because we went to state last Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We got fourth in state, so we were pretty happy about that.
All right, because there are a lot of people involved in the occupation like you're in.
Yeah. So I just wanted to talk about some of the birds you may see on the trail or in Marion County.
Yeah,
so.
Talk about those.
So the ones you're going to definitely see right now, the red-winged blackbird, This is a guy that just migrated from the south. They you'll find them in agriculture fields, wetland areas. So within their name, they have the red on the wing. And these guys, they'll typically nest around cattails.
Now, some of them have a more of a yellow orangish.
Yes.
Not only the red.
Yeah, yeah. If you look right underneath the red, yeah, it has a little bit of yellow orange on them.
And they have a particular note to their little blast that they.
Yes. They that whoosh, yeah. Whoosh sound.
And I remember that so well because my dad, when I was young, used to take me fishing up at Lake Erie, and we fished in the backwater off of Sandusky Bay, and it seemed like there were a lot of red-winged blackbirds there, and that's all I heard the whole time I was fishing.
Yes. Yeah, wow. They can be very, some people consider them a nuisance at times, but other than that, they're very common, and they're a nice bird to have around.
I had a man that called me for years, year after year, upon the arrival of the red-winged blackbird, because they do come back at a particular time to this area.
Yeah, it was about the beginning of March when I start seeing the first ones.
Okay. Now, where would they migrate to?
A lot of them went to the Carolinas and then, you know, traveled up here.
Yeah. Interesting.
So not terribly far.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we looked at the red-winged blackbird. I think I see a starling.
I did. Yeah. I have a starling here.
Yeah.
And then I do have a, house sparrow. So, yep, these are the two lovely invasive birds that we have here in the state of Ohio. People wondering, how did they get here? It was actually a human's fault. It started in the East Coast, they believe around New York, when we were getting into theater a lot, especially in the 1800s, 1900s. When we were reading William Shakespeare or Edward Allan Poe, if you read any of their literature, they mention a lot about the starlings and the house sparrows. And so after the play was done, well, guess what they did with the birds?
Oh,
let them go.
Turn them loose.
And so that's how they were introduced into the United States. They believe that the first house sparrow was spotted in 1869 up by Cleveland. And they believe the first starling was spotted in 1916 in around Coshocton County.
Scott, you know, there have always been rumors that Florence Harding murdered President Harding.
Yes, I have heard that.
Well, it's a bunch of bunk. I'm here to state without doubt Florence Harding did not murder President Harding. Now, Nan Britton. Jury's out.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back with James Anderson from the Marion County Park District talking about birds, for one thing, today. Now, here's another thing, James. Now, you've got all these specimens. Now, you're entitled to handle these, but a common, ordinary person would not be allowed to pick up a lot of these, would they?
No. You do have to have a federal permit.
Yes.
So, nature centers... if you are a rehab facility like the Howard Bird Sanctuary, if you're like a research place like Marion OSU, and school teachers are actually allowed to have it for education.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, no. If you're none of those things,
Leave it.
Yeah, you have to leave it. And that's bird feathers, eggs, nests,
the
body. Yeah, it's a federal offense.
Wow. Okay.
And here recently, Ohio has trained either 5 or 6 dogs to able to sniff out, you know, wildlife.
Really?
Yep. It's part of their canine unit. Now, there's not in Marion County, but I think, I think Delaware has a canine.
Okay, yeah. Now, going back to the starlings, how do you distinguish the male from the female?
You really can't. These are one of the few species that both male and female look very similar.
Because they have the same color beaks. and all that?
Yes. You just have to do close examination, I tell people. Kind of like blue jays. Blue jays and chickadees are the same way. You really can't tell them apart.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless you got real close.
That's interesting. I wonder how they preserve these. They dry them out?
Yeah. Yeah, she dried them out.
Yeah.
No, you remember Marilyn you met at the groundhog?
Yeah.
Yeah, these are her specimens. Because she was the naturalist at the Mount Gilead State Park, and people would just bring all sorts of things.
Oh, can you imagine? Yeah.
So I'm hoping one day I'll have a little collection like her. So I'm starting to.
So we've seen the sparrow, the starling.
Yep.
And now I see a cardinal.
Yep. I brought him last month when you were absent. Yep. We talked about cardinals. So, yeah, some of these guys are a little over 20 years old, and as you can see, they're kind of deteriorating.
They've not lost all their feathers yet, but now telling one from the other, a female cardinal, of course, is kind of lackluster compared to the male.
Yes, and so species like that, it's called sexually dimorphic, which means both species look, or both male and female look completely different. Versus, like we talked about, starlings and blue jays are called sexually monomorphic, which means both sexes look the same.
Oh, okay. When you mentioned that, I thought, well, blue jays, you can't tell one from the other, can you?
No. And like crows, can't tell really apart from crows.
Really? No. I like crows. You know, crows are a very intelligent bird, I think.
No, they are. They are.
Yeah.
If you had like a scale of the most intelligent to the least intelligent, it's actually funny. Owls are on the least end of the scale, but we call them wise and wisdom.
Yeah, wise old owl.
Because about 80-90% of their skull is for eye space, so they only leaves about 10-20% left for brain space. So they're not the brightest crown in the box.
Yeah. And in bicycling, many times I would hear a bunch of crows suddenly start squawking.
Oh yeah.
And I would see off in the distance maybe a hawk.
Yeah, that technique's called mobbing.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
mobbing.
Yeah, when you get a group of birds that harass, usually an owl or another bird of prey.
Okay, and they let each other know that, hey, watch out, there's danger afoot.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think I've told you before, when I was a young kid, we had a talking crow.
Oh, yeah.
He'd come into our classroom when the windows were open and sit on the ledge and talk. And this went on for several years, and then he disappeared. And we found out some kid shot him with a BB gun.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, no, it was Jimmy the Crow was
Jimmy
his name.
Jimmy the Crow, I like that.
And in the wintertime, he would come up, if you had a wreath in your window, he'd come up right in the middle of it on the outside and peck on your window.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was, we all felt so close to Jimmy the Crow, and we missed him so much.
Yeah. But, did you know, actually, crows and blue jays are cousins.
Is that right?
Yeah, because a lot of times how they categorize birds is by intelligence as well, and not just physical traits.
Wow.
So, because blue jays and crows are very intelligent, they put them in the same group, same family.
Now, blue jays could be related to a certain type of human, maybe, kind of feisty.
Oh, yes.
You stay out of my territory.
Yes,
type.
Especially when they're nesting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they'll dive bomb you.
And at our bird feeder, the blue jay will swoop in and push all the other birds away.
Yeah.
The birds away.
Yeah.
While it takes what it wants.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned before, what blue jays will also do, too, is they will imitate red-tailed hawk calls and scare the little birds away. And then the blue jay says, well, hey, I get free food. No competition. So tricky. Yeah.
And a lot of times the birds will disappear from your feeder. And if you got sharp eyes and can look around, sometimes you'll see a raptor off in the distance, maybe waiting to grab one of those birds.
Yeah.
And they swoop in rather quickly to do it.
They do. They're pretty fast.
Yeah. And so the great outdoors, and it's good for us humans to observe, but if you were one of them, you'd have to be on your cautious all the time.
Oh, yeah, because you never know what's around the corner that can get you.
That's right. Now, do snakes have any enemies?
Oh, yeah. Little snakes, or bigger snakes will eat little snakes, and, of course, raccoons, opossums, hawks will take advantage and eat snakes.
Okay. Now, I've seen, in fact, I used to have a kind of a pet garter snake, and I fed it night crawlers.
Okay.
And it would double them up and eat them. open their mouth really wide to eat a doubled up nightcrawler.
Oh yeah, it's trying to accumulate more food.
Yeah, and the only thing about having a garter snake for any length of time, cleaning out the container where he is something else.
Oh yeah, they stink, don't they?
Oh, they stink to high heaven.
They do.
Oh boy.
Every summer when we have one in the nature center, yeah, they stink.
Oh yes, and oh, now around here we have a lot of little streams, maybe not as many as some other counties, but there's a thing called the it's kind of a salamander type, the hellbender.
Oh yeah, the hellbender. Yep, they're really interesting.
Is there any chance the little sciota would have a hellbender?
That's possible, or the sciota.
Yeah.
Because if you further down in Columbus, they're found.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so they might be up this way. I'm not quite sure if they're in Marion.
And they love to live under rocks.
Yes, yep. Uh-huh. They call them snot otters. That's a nickname for a hellbender.
Right?
Yep, snot otters.
Now, it used to be, James, when I went fishing in the Sandusky River, especially at night, used to like to go night fishing. All of a sudden, those... we call them water dogs that start biting.
Oh, with the mud puppies?
Is that a type of hellbender?
No, water dogs are also another salamander, but they're technically called mud puppies. They have those.
Oh, okay.
They look like feathers, but they're gills
on
the side of their head. Versus hellbenders don't have that.
Okay, and you squeeze them, and they go, erk, erk.
Yeah, like that's a, like the little grunt sound, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why they called water dogs, or called them, yeah. But they're really what?
Mud puppies.
Mud puppies, okay.
Yep, that's the most common name.
And their gill is outside their...
Yes, and they will retain as an adult, versus hellbenders will lose them when they're juveniles.
Now, we were told, too, that if you caught one of these, just cut your line and leave it go, because if they bit you... you might get infection because they eat a lot of dead stuff on the bottom of the creeks. But would that be true?
No, not true.
The old wives' tale.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I cut. I don't know how many off my line, thinking I would get poisoned.
Yeah. Well, in West Virginia, they actually do have a season for hellbenders.
Really?
Yeah. But then in Ohio, they're endangered.
Yes. Yeah. And they live under rocks.
Yeah.
In the creeks.
Yeah, a lot of people, what I've heard in West Virginia, they'll kill them and then they chunk them up and then use them as fishing bait, for especially for bass.
Oh, no kidding. Oh my. I know over at the Crawford Park District they have one in captivity.
Yeah.
And my wife got to pet it once.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, when it was just a baby.
Okay.
But yeah, it's interesting, they're kind of ugly. I don't know if there's anything else uglier than a hellbender.
They're interesting, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are. Kind of a flattish, I don't know if you could relate them to the size of a little catfish, but they're interesting.
Yeah, they have a cousin called the giant salamander who lives out in China that can get almost 5 feet long.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, okay. But luckily here in Ohio, they only get about a foot long. So
if you ever find one under a rock in a creek around here, contact your nearest person like James Anderson.
Yeah, the Division of Wildlife, you know, they would definitely want to know.
Yes.
Since they're an endangered species, they want to know where they are.
And I often think if the hellbenders disappeared from everywhere, what would that harm?
You know, we would have to find out. But like you said, since they eat a lot of dead material, that might stay.
Yeah.
In a lot of the creeks and streams. So quite sure what would happen if hellbenders...
I can remember on vacation in Pennsylvania, I used to go with my daughter, turn her down to a little creek, and we found what would be called a snail darter.
Okay, yeah.
Protected.
Yes. That was a federally protected darter that didn't stop but postponed the Tellico Dam down in Tennessee.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, little fish.
Yeah. And like I said... What would happen if they disappeared?
I'm not sure yet.
Yeah. But it's like the Indiana bat.
Yes.
Have you ever seen one?
Not in the wild, but in captivity. With the Indiana bat and the long-ear bat, we had to work with the Division of Wildlife with Tallgrass Trail as we were developing it.
Okay.
There was a certain time we could only cut trees because it was usually after Easter we weren't allowed to cut trees because they believed... that's when the bats could have been roosting.
Yeah.
I don't think they officially found any, but they always thought that there could be those bats.
I remember they went through, the city of Marion went through the very same thing when they were developing Kellogg Parkway.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, boy. And it got so that it irritated the city officials so much, they just went ahead and cut down the trees.
Oh, yeah. You got to watch out. Yeah. They're in big trouble.
Yeah. 10:57 and a half is the time, and we'll be breaking soon. And when we come back for our next portion, well, you're invited to call. If you have, just like me, you may have questions like me, and feel free. And James is going to tell us, too, what all is offered with the Marion County Park District. 10:58 is the time. And James, what else? How about night crawlers? The ground has to be thawed out for them. No?
Yeah, so probably for too long, they'll be coming out.
And if you want to go fishing in earnest, why, you can take a flashlight out at night and grab a few night crawlers.
Yeah, that you could.
You have to be careful, though. Don't pull too hard on them.
Yes, I've learned that. Yeah, there's a certain technique.
That's right. You find if they start resisting your pull, just hang on to them for a little bit,
yes,
and they'll give up eventually.
Yep.
And of course, I think I told you, I used to take the outer covering off of walnuts and then dump that on the ground, and night crawlers hate that.
Oh, yeah, they're very acidic.
Boy, they'll jump it out of the ground mile a minute.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, boy. 10:59 is the time. My guest today is James Anderson, the man who heads the Marion County Park District, your naturalist, and the man who, I'm sure as you surmise, knows a little bit about everything. And that's what's necessary when you have a park district like we have here with Sears Woods, the green, what is it, down at Prospect?
A green spur.
A green spur.
Yep.
The and there's a little land near Green Camp called Trella, but that's managed by some other group.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And then there's Paradise, yep.
Yeah, Paradise. Okay. All right, we've got a few seconds here. We're coming up on 11 o'clock, and if you have any questions, don't forget, our lines are always open to you. And I'm sure there's some people out there as curious as I am to want to know things about nature. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For 107-year-old viral video sensation Virginia McLaurin on meeting President and Mrs. Barack Obama.
You said, now you'd be able to die happy. Why did that?